The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Because Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said then is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more and then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Step aside. It Jesus said to the Samaritan woman, "Everyone who drinks water from this well will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty." The woman replied, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty." Please be seated. Well, I want to begin by giving thanks to all of you for carrying on so well as the body of Christ while my family and I were on spring break. Your thoughts and prayers and preparations culminated in a lovely service yesterday for Nick Powell. And they gave great evidence of what it means to be the hands and feet of Christ to others. Thanks to our choir and our altar guild, our greeters, ushers, and all of those who helped with reception. And a special thank you to Reverend Leisha and our staff who got it all organized. God was glorified, and the life of a good man was honored and celebrated. Which I'm sure says something about the relative necessity or lack thereof of a rector. But I couldn't be more pleased that you did so well without me. I do have a short vacation report. We spent most of the week in Galveston. The weather was nice. The kids had a great time. And it occurred to me while we were going and doing and doing and going how much we depend on our electronic devices to organize and carry out our trip and our activities, and also keeping up with what was going on back here at Calvary. Not only did I stay in touch with Leisha and others via cell phone and email and text, we made all of our reservations online, of course, paid for seawall parking, which is new to Galveston since I live there, with my cell phone. Took me about 20 minutes to finally follow all the directions correctly. Bought rodeo tickets and theater tickets on StubHub from utter strangers that I never saw and don't have any idea why I trusted them enough to give them my credit card number, but it all worked out just fine. Every ride we rode, every game we played in the midway, of course, was with a prepaid plastic card that was scanned at each place. And all of that, of course, we take for granted now. That's just the way things are, a piece of plastic and a cell phone, and you can go everywhere and do everything. But what struck me was I thought about how recent all of this gadgetry really is. And I thought about that because last week, Sherry and I saw the movie Hidden Figures. I'm sure many of you have seen it. If not, I highly recommend it. It's very well done. And the backdrop for this movie are the early days of our space program, the 1960s, the first half of that decade. And believe it or not, the first couple of men that we put into suborbital space went up and came back down with no computers on the basis of slide rules and hand calculations in 1961. It wasn't until early 1962 that NASA had its first large IBM computer to make all those necessary calculations for spaceflight. Before that, they literally utilized large rooms full of human computers. Hundreds of mostly women who worked anonymously to do the calculations and work the complicated equations that it took to get our astronauts safely into space and back. And the movie Hidden Figures is about three of those human computers. African-American women who worked at Langley Aeronautical Laboratory in Hampton, Virginia in the early 60s. And particularly about one of those women, Catherine Goebel, who had a remarkable mathematical mind. Had a remarkable mind. So much so that she graduated summa cum laude from college with a double major in French and mathematics at the age of 19. After graduation, she was a school teacher for several years, but then in the 1950s, the Cold War and the space race with Russia were both heating up, and there was a huge need in the Defense Department for engineers and mathematicians and those people who supported them, human computers. And that's what brought Ms. Goebel to Langley and ultimately to NASA as a computer. And it was a decent middle-class job, paid at least twice what she could have made teaching, but still considerably less than white women or men of any color made for the same work. Jim Crow laws were still in effect in Virginia in the early 1960s, so coloreds, as they were called, had segregated areas within the NASA complex for working, eating, and going to the restroom. However, the more that Catherine excelled, the more in demand she became to work on the most important project NASA had, putting a man into orbital space, which meant that she would work directly and in the same room with white aeronautical engineers and mathematicians, and that was unheard of then. And her genius even got her into important meetings as deadlines approached and launch dates were imminent. To say that she stuck out in those meetings would be a huge understatement. But all of that did not get her into the same cafeteria or allow her to use the same bathroom as whites. But more importantly to her, she was also not allowed to have her name on the important reports that she wrote. Only men could author reports, was the rule at NASA in those days. Catherine, of course, had grown up with segregation and discrimination and learned over the years that life was easier if she just kept her head down and didn't complain about the unfairness of things. But this was something that she was not willing to overlook. And so she decided to confront her boss, even at the possible expense of her job. Having someone else get credit for her work was not only demeaning, it literally stripped her of her identity. Her name was erased off the page, reduced her to what she was called, a computer, not a person, a computer. So now let's turn to our gospel reading this morning, where we meet another woman who has also learned to keep her head down and not complain about the unfairness of life. We find her at a well with Jesus. This is very soon after his nocturnal meeting with Nicodemus that we read about last week. And John tells us that after meeting with Nicodemus, Jesus traveled up to Galilee to continue his teaching. And he chose to take the most direct route, one that took him through an area of Samaria. And having walked all morning, he decided to stop and have something to eat and drink near the village of Sychar. And there at the village well, he encounters a nameless Samaritan woman drawing water for her home. Very thirsty from his walk, Jesus calls out to her, "Give me a drink." I wish for the sake of teaching our children he had said please, but he does not. Well, the woman cannot believe her ears. Did a Jewish man just ask her, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? He has no bucket of his own. He has no cup in his hand. Is he planning to share my cup? How can that be? How is it, she says, that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me? Indeed, how is it? The significance of that request is huge because it breaks through so many cultural barriers of the time. For us, from our perspective of a couple of thousand years later, their conversation barely seems controversial. But for those days, it was extraordinary. As we read, we see that it also had an extraordinary effect, a life-changing effect on the woman. A woman for whom we are only given a few bits and pieces of information, but who obviously has much to tell us. Tell us about herself and about her encounter with the Messiah. I'm sure the people of the town were pretty sure they knew her well. They knew all they needed to know for sure. After all, what else do you need to know about someone who's been married 5 times and is now not married to the one that she is with? Isn't that enough? Doesn't that tell you everything about her? Undoubtedly, that's why she was at the well at midday, instead of in the cooler morning when the women of town traditionally come to fill their water jugs for the day. Probably tired of those sideways glances, probably tired of those whispered conversations that stop as soon as she gets close. They all thought they knew her because they had a few juicy tidbits about her life. But they didn't know her. They didn't know how she felt about life. They didn't know what she thought about and prayed about when she was alone. But Jesus did. Jesus did. Jesus told her everything she had ever done. He knew her completely. He knew her hopes. He knew her dreams. And he knew her sins and her failures. And he loved her anyway. And I imagine for the first time she felt valued for who she was. I expect that Jesus made her feel alive and affirmed instead of used and taken for granted. And he not only loved and accepted her, he fed her. Not in the normal sense of the word, of course. Didn't take care of her dusty throat or empty stomach. No, he fed the much deeper hunger and thirst that was in her and is in all of us. The thirst to be somebody. The thirst to be a person of worth. To be known and appreciated by God and by others for whom we really are. For whom we really are. Catherine Goble wanted nothing less when she decided to fight for her right to have credit for her work. Her boss was shocked, probably the first time in his working life that his decision was called into question by a woman, and certainly never before a black woman. But he ultimately listened. Small things began to change, not right away, of course, but change. In 2016, NASA renamed one of the buildings at Langley Research Center after Catherine. And now, of course, there's a movie about her. So she's finally not just a computer. She's, at the age of 98, actually somebody. None of which means, of course, that the work is done. As Jesus says to the woman at the well, "The water I will give you will become in you a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." Jesus brings eternal life to all of us, each and every one of us. Eternal life. We're known and loved by Him, not known as the world knows us, not labeled by our sins, not filed by our skin color, not decided how about us by our job or our net worth, but known as somebody's, as persons of distinction, known as who we are, flaws and all. Jesus knows everything we have done, and He loves us anyway. And if we can accept that love, if we can accept and believe in His promise of eternal life, then like the woman at the well, we too can be transformed. We too can say that God is here. I have seen God right here among us. He offers us food and drink at that very table. Food and drink that lasts for a lifetime. And we too, like the woman at the well, can go into the city and say to the people, "Come and see. Come and see the one who knows everything you have ever done and loves you anyway. Come and see." Amen.